from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspik. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspik, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On the show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. To get this show every day, you need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. We can be found on the brand new podcast app Himalaya or Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Whether you're driving to work, from work, or around town, all you have to do is tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Giants Baseball and we'll be right there with you for the drive. For the latest takes on NBA free agency, follow all of the Locked On Podcast Network hosts on one Twitter feed, at LockedOnNBANet. It's an awesome way to get all the latest opinions from the local experts during NBA free agency, at LockedOnNBANet on Twitter. Coming up on today's show, we'll discuss the three games over the weekend between the Giants and the Diamondbacks, the Giants winning 2 out of 3, splitting the four-game series. All three Giants starting pitchers did well in this series. We'll talk about Madison Bumgarner's great start yesterday. Kevin Pillar really has turned it around ever since I said he absolutely needed to, otherwise they might have to cut him loose. Alex Dickerson just continued to be a shot in the arm for the Giants offense, and Mike Yastrzemski came up with some big hits when he needed to have them. So we'll talk all about those game notes, as well as the fact that Will Smith is an all-star, and a little bit about Larry Bear as well. But first, their record with the 2 wins and 1 loss since we last spoke, the Giants improved to 36-47. They had a good series in terms of run differential, and they improved to minus 89, which has an expected win-loss record of 33-50, so they're still outperforming it by 3 wins. The Giants' minus 89 run differential is still the worst in the National League. On Friday, this was a Sean Anderson start, and he did what he's done consistently with the Giants. He went 5 2/3, allowed 2 earned runs, 1 walk, 3 strikeouts, no home runs, 7 hits allowed. He's been very steady, giving them between 5 to 6, I think he went into the 7th at least one time, innings, and then allowing 2 or 3 runs. Pretty much every time he pitches, I end up saying it was a solid outing. And that it, time after time after time, it's a solid outing. He's not ever having like an amazing outing. He's not ever having a blow-up outing. So all told on the season now, he's made 9 starts, thrown over 50 innings, and he has a 3.86 ERA. The peripherals are a little worse, 4.27 fielding independent pitching, 4.60 expected fielding independent pitching. But those two numbers are just slightly worse than league average, and the ERA is about 10% better than league average. The issue for Anderson, the interesting thing about him, what makes him unusual as a starting pitcher is that he has a very low strikeout rate, only 5.08 strikeouts per 9 innings, 13.2% overall. That is the lowest in the National League among all pitchers with at least 50 innings pitched. So it can be hard to be successful with such a low strikeout rate. In order to do so, you definitely need to limit your walks and be able to suppress home runs. And that is kind of what Sean Anderson seems to bring to the table. That being said, I would expect the ERA to get worse and kind of match up to where those peripherals are. But still, then you have a roughly league average starter on your hands who's only 24 years old and they got for a rental of Eduardo Nunez. So I just continue to be impressed with Sean Anderson. He's got good mound presence as well. He's got confidence out there. And, you know, for a guy making the league minimum who's only 24 years old, you'll absolutely take the kind of production they've gotten from him so far. Alex Dickerson hit a monster home run to right center field in this game. It one-hopped into McCovey Cove. Mike Yastrzemski had a couple of much-needed hits. He finally went to left field. They had been kind of overexposing him with fastballs away, and he was swinging through them time after time, and he kind of made an adjustment and went with the pitch and ended up getting a couple of hits to left field that were much needed for him. As we've talked about a lot, the Giants have created a dynamic where they have a lefty lineup, a righty lineup, depending on who the starting pitcher is, and it came into play in this game. They had, you know, all their lefties in there against the right-handed starting pitcher, Merrill Kelly, but then later in the game, bases loaded, one out, a lefty comes in, and the Giants were able to go to Tyler Austin in that situation against a lefty with the bases loaded and one out. So that is the type of situation you dream about letting your lefty killer come in a dangerous situation against a lefty with the game kind of hanging in the balance, where you can really break it open. If they can give him that opportunity consistently, then he's going to have success and the Giants will be better off for it. So he ended up with like a weird check swing ground out that scored a run. But again, it's like a long game in this situation. If you can give him that opportunity multiple times, you're going to reap the benefits. Buster Posey had 3 hits in this game. It looked like he changed his stance a little bit. So he definitely looked improved over where he was looking the previous few games when he was really looking overmatched. Will Smith had a rough ninth inning for him. He allowed a run, which is rare for him. He allowed 2 hits and a walk also in the inning. Thought the pitch calling was a little bit strange. Posey was calling fastball after fastball with Smith. We all know that his slider is his best pitch. On Saturday, Drew Pomeranz pitched great, pitched out of a jam in the first inning, ended up going 5 innings, no runs, 2 walks, 7 strikeouts, 5 hits allowed. Belt had a couple hits, Yastrzemski had another hit. Dickerson went 0 for 4. And in the ninth inning, Stephen Vogt hit a 3-run homer that pulled the Giants to within a run, but they ended up losing anyway. This was really a game that I think was lost by going to Mark Melancon in the 8th inning when the Giants were trailing 1-0. 1-0 in the 8th at home is still, you know, a very winnable game and a game that you absolutely want to shut the door and not let the Diamondbacks extend their lead. And Mark Melancon has done nothing to me to prove that he should be pitching in even moderately high leverage innings. We talked on the last show about how his batting average on balls in play against him is the highest in MLB since he put on a Giants uniform. And that just continued on Saturday night. He allowed 4 hits in his 1 inning of work and a walk, a leadoff walk. 3 runs, 2 earned, 1 strikeout. But he's just a hit-allowing machine. That's what he has been ever since he put on a Giants uniform. Nobody gets a higher percentage of hits when they make contact than opponents against Mark Melancon. And he's not a strikeout guy, so you're seeing a lot of contact and then tons of hits when there is contact. So that is how the Giants lost this game, in my opinion. I do think Trevor Gott probably should be someone who's above Mark Melancon in terms of who do you go to after you've already used Maranta and Dyson, which they had in this game. On Sunday, Madison Bumgarner on the mound also pitched very, very well for the Giants. He went 7 innings, allowed 1 earned run, 9 strikeouts, no walks, no home runs, 4 hits allowed. So a much needed, very strong outing for Bumgarner, who has turned it around the last couple of starts after his previous few starts were pretty bad. Kevin Pillar went off in this game, went 4 for 5, drove in 5 runs. We don't talk about RBIs often, but the Giants, you know, for a long time in the game, it was like 5-1, and Pillar had pretty much all of the runs batted in. Dickerson came off the bench and delivered a big hit with the bases loaded. Derek Rodriguez came in, pitched 2/3 of an inning, and allowed 3 earned runs, 4 hits, no strikeouts. But then Trevor Gott was able to shut the door with 1 1/3, 2 strikeouts, no runs, no hits. So there's a lot to digest in these 3 games. The big storyline, the pitching was very strong. Drew Pomeranz and Kevin Pillar have turned it around when it was looking very bleak for them a couple of weeks ago. They've both done well since that time. We'll need to get more into Madison Bumgarner, how this start reflects in his overall season numbers and how that affects his trade value. Talk about Will Smith being an all-star, Larry Bear being reinstated from his suspension. That's coming up. We're going to get into all of the analysis of everything you just heard in the last 3 games in the second half of the show. So that's all coming up next. But first, okay, so as promised, we'll break down some of the bigger picture items as it pertains to those 3 games that we just broke down in the first half. One thing I want to mention that I failed to mention in the first segment is that Posey went 3 for 3 with a walk yesterday. So he had 2 3-hit games in this weekend. Another guy who really needed to turn it around, and he did over the weekend at least. Focusing a little bit on Bumgarner, with the start, he improved his strikeout rate to 25%, which is up near where it was when he was at his peak. Walk rate is still very good at 5.3%, also near where it was when he was at his best. The only thing really holding him back is the home run rate. He's allowing 1.4 home runs per 9 innings, which is actually not that different than the league average. The home runs are just way up in baseball this year, but his career norm is 0.92 home runs per 9. But all told, his ERA is 4.02, fielding independent pitching 3.95, expected fielding independent pitching right there at 3.97. All of those are above average, meaning better than average, but not by very much, in the 5 to 10% above average range. If I'm a contender, I have interest in Madison Bumgarner. I'm not giving away a top 50 prospect for him as a rental, but I'm certainly calling about Madison Bumgarner if I'm a contender and I need starting pitching help. Want to talk a little more about Alex Dickerson. He's just been a revelation for the Giants. On the season now, he's got a 125 weighted runs created plus, meaning when you adjust for the park and you weight the different offensive outcomes correctly, he's been 25% better than league average offensively on the season. And that's not with the Giants. That includes his time with the Padres when he was very much struggling this year. Against right-handed pitching in his career, he now has a 122 weighted runs created plus, meaning he's just been very solidly above average against righties, and there's no real reason to not expect that to continue. Mike Yastrzemski has kind of been hovering around a territory where he needs to play better and he needs to get out of this funk he's been in because, you know, he was slipping to below average levels offensively. And when you're not like a standout defensive player, and we're talking about a sample now of over 100 plate appearances, there just has been some pressure for him to do better when he was in the middle of this funk. But he held his ground in this series. Let's just say that he's hitting 243 with a 298 on base percentage. So that needs to improve, but he still has a 441 slugging, good for a 198 ISO, which is solidly good, especially for a Giants player who has to play at Oracle Park. He's kept the strikeout rate reasonable at 28.9%. So every day is an opportunity for evaluation of Mike Yastrzemski. And to me, he's holding his own. He's kind of right on the cusp there of looking like he could be overmatched at times, but then he does just enough to tell you, okay, well, he definitely has a chance to be a good enough major league contributor. Want to compare him briefly to Adam Jones, who there was so much talk early in the season about how the Giants were incompetent for not signing Adam Jones and how it was such an obvious fit and why did they not do it? Well, on the season now for Jones, he's been a below average offensive contributor for the Diamondbacks. He has a 95 weighted runs created plus, which is virtually identical to that of Mike Yastrzemski. He's also been a liability in the outfield. I know you wouldn't know it necessarily from this series against the Giants. He's played well against the Giants in the field. But all told on the season, base running, defense, and offense, Fangraphs has him pegged at 0.1 wins above replacement in 77 games, with a projection for the rest of the season of 0 wins above replacement. So we're talking about a replacement level player. And this is a guy that Giants fans and even plenty of the writers were ready to bury Farhan Zaidi in the Giants front office for not signing him based on a couple of games early in the season when Adam Jones had some like big hits in the first game of the season. And people were ready to declare that that means he should have signed with the Giants and that it's going to be a losing season because they don't have Adam Jones. It's just an absolutely ridiculous line of thinking. Jones has consistently been average or below average the last 4 years with declining defense and base running. So that 0.1 win above replacement for Jones, I mean, the Giants would not be any better if he was on their roster. And he's going to be 34 years old in a month. So it just wouldn't have made any sense at all to sign him and stick with him all season. I know they did sign like Gerardo Parra, but as long as they were willing to move on from Jones and not waste the season giving him everyday starts if they weren't competing, then he wouldn't be very different than Gerardo Parra. But at the end of the day, they're not going to be good if they sign someone like Adam Jones. So I will wait for the apology of all the writers and radio personalities who were burying the Giants for not signing him. Just for reference, Mike Yastrzemski has also been worth 0.1 Fangraphs wins above replacement, but he's done so in 33 games, whereas it's taken Jones 77 games to get to that point. Someone like Steven Vogt is already half a win above replacement. Alex Dickerson already half a win above replacement. Lastly, just a couple of pieces of news. Will Smith named an All-Star, voted in by the players. Tremendous honor for him. His first All-Star selection. And my goodness, he's very, very deserving. Tremendous numbers across the board. There's too much to even say. Tremendous strikeout rate, walk rate, home run rate, ERA, fielding independent pitching, expected fielding independent pitching, just all phenomenal across the board. Well-deserved. Will Smith, congratulations to him. And lastly, Larry Bear, suspended for that incident with his wife in a public place in San Francisco, has been reinstated. His suspension is over and he will rejoin the Giants as CEO tomorrow. He is no longer the control person, and the Giants released a statement a joint statement with Bear that said, as is industry standard, the president of baseball operations will report directly to the control person who represents ownership. So that control person is still Rob Dean, who took over in Bear's absence as control person. So Bear is coming back, but he's going to have a very different role. He's not going to be that public-facing guy, and he's not going to be the one whom Farhan Zaidi reports to directly. So it remains to be seen how this will impact the Giants, although that's essentially what's been happening when Bear was gone, so it won't be any different than what's been happening the last few months in 2019. Remember, to get this show every single weekday, you need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. You can find us on the brand new podcast app Himalaya or Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. On this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. Once again, my name is Ben Caspic. You can follow me on Twitter, at @Cove_cast. Coming up tonight, the Giants will be in San Diego. Alex Dickerson returning to his old stomping grounds, the team that let him go in the trade for Franklin Van Gerp. Will be very interesting to see if he can continue to stay hot and torch his former team. Jeff Samardzija on the mound for the Giants. Left-handed pitcher Logan Allen on the mound for the Padres. We're going to continue to do Q&A on this show, so next time there's an off day, look for that to happen again. But we will be back tomorrow with another episode about tonight's game against the Padres. Until then, we'll see you next time.